You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kate McIntyre-Clear is the co-producer and director and writer of a documentary which is starting at the Academy tonight called Kangaroo. Hi, Kate. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, hi.
Are you an ex-New Zealander?
I am.
But you're an Australian now.
I went there as a student 33 years ago with my backpack and just didn't quite remember to come home.
And then, what have you been doing in that time?
Just learning
how to make movies.
I did. I've done theatre and outdoor theatre and movies. That's my thing.
Cool. And the documentary here is—it's obvious what it's about. It's about kangaroos.
Yeah.
There's nice kangaroos. We see nice stuff about kangaroos. Is that what it is? Look, David Attenborough.
Well, no, it's not that. We went in sort of thinking we'd celebrate this great marsupial that's so unique to Australia, and we went down a rabbit hole. It's a big love-hate story in Australia. So yeah, people will be shocked. Really.
You must have known that going into it.
You know that there was a difference of opinion, but of course, whistleblowers come forward and tell you shit that's just like, what? That shouldn't be happening. And so you feel like, okay, this is getting... I mean, one of the first interviews, they said, oh, yeah, this is the largest wildlife massacre in the world. So when you learn that, like interview three, you're like, what?
That's pretty full on, isn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, that's not just once a year. It's like it's all that's going on all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it started off as something that farmers did to clear their land so they could farm
European style. Let's be clear about this, though. Who was there first?
The kangaroo.
The kangaroo were there first for quite a while. And in fact, there were like 9-foot-tall saber-toothed kangaroos at one stage or something, weren't there?
Well, so the kangaroos came about 30 million years ago, and they've really adapted to the Australian pasture. And then Indigenous people about 50,000 years ago, white folk about 250.
Yep. And the slaughter started when?
250.
Right, straight from the get-go.
Well, we wanted European landscape, and we cleared all the local flora and fauna to have that. And that kind of way, that paradigm of farming has continued till today.
Yeah, and they so does that mean that if there hadn't been a slaughter, does that mean there would just be like just these huge mobs? Because that's what a group of kangaroos is called, by the way, a mob.
Yeah. Well, a farmer did tell us that they had shot kangaroos on their property for a while, for like 20 years, and they stopped a decade ago, and there's been no difference. So they're clever animal. They can work out their own mob size. So in fact, they will work out their own size. It's not like just go for it, we're crazy. They also have to adapt to, you know, culture and climate change and all the things that are happening in our lives that they're actually adapting to as well.
So what is the panic though? Where does it come from? This the kangaroos, is it just a farming thing? Is it like a...
Well, I mean, it's urban development, farming. Anyone who can, I mean, basically they're protected nationally as a wildlife.
Because they're cool.
They are.
They're
the
such an
awesome
amazing
creatures.
Animal. They're,
yeah.
they're, they are so unique and so and so Australian. As you say, they are a direct product of their environment.
And they're on everything. You know, we love them. They're on absolutely everything we have. And so that's the weirdness of the story. It's just a full-on love-hate relationship.
It'd be like if we put possums on everything.
Yeah, except that's not really your national icon. It's
no,
not
no,
native.
At all. We hate it. And everyone puts their hand up and say, ooh, yuck, possums. But the kangaroo is it's a big, big, beautiful animal. And it was there first.
Yeah. And I think the commercial pressure on wildlife is completely unsustainable. So if you want to keep making a product every day of the year to send out internationally to countries like New Zealand and Europe and wherever to
you're talking about
sell,
meat and fur and
yeah, to sell kangaroos, things. Which is what the outcome has happened these days. So that's just gone.
You can buy all
crazy.
Sorts of weird shit at the airports. You can buy kangaroo back scratches and kangaroo scrotums as purses.
That is the weirdest thing, isn't
that
it?
That is really weird that you sell that at the airport.
It's a
very uniquely
just like
Australian thing.
Classic example.
We don't
example.
Sell any scrotums at our airport from any beast.
Why would you?
No,
you know,
I've asked.
You've asked, okay.
That's what I thought was weird. No, but they do, and it's sort of like you say, and the meat's very popular. Well, was it very popular? Or was it,
we're talking to the shooters, who are actually the guys on the ground. They like wouldn't eat it for the world. You know, they just think, no way. It's, you know, it's killed at night in the hot Australian summers. It's taken on the back of a truck, all eviscerated and open. And when we were filming it, these shooters came forward and said, there's just no way that meat can't be, you know, they can keep contamination out of that meat.
Because what was the thing that I think I caught in the trailer? There's no way of farming it humanely.
No.
So do they have to be killed in the wild?
Yeah, that's
being
right.
Sold? That's
yeah, so it's not
mad.
It makes a difference to venison or something like that, where you can't actually run a herd of deer sort of.
No, these are eviscerated, butchered out in the bush at night, and then they don't have to be at the chiller for 2 hours after sunrise in the morning. So
Australian sunrise.
That's a long time, and that is
Australian
like,
time. about 4 hours before Australian sunrise, it's stinking hot anyway. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And even the shooters and the people out in the bush, they're like going, this is not right, because they've pushed it into all seasons because they keep wanting to export to a larger and larger market.
And I guess if you're a shooter, that's your job. That's what you do every day, and you need to get.
And you're watching, and you know what's happening. So we were. I mean, the whistleblowers in the film really made it very interesting for us with the cruelty, the hygiene, the missed shots. Poor old kangaroos jumping around there with like no arm for a couple of weeks, slowly dying, and it's pretty heinous. Yeah.
The people who are saying stop this, this is horrible. How's that been received in Australia?
Well, it's pretty controversial. Yeah. We had lots of feedback from when the film came out. People were really pissed. I think because we've been doing it for 250 years, we feel like we've got a right to do it. Kangaroos are like the top
humans,
thing
eh?
People want to see in Australia. It's crazy. We earned $42 billion from tourism last year, and the top thing people want to see is a kangaroo.
Yep.
So it's kind of this crazy like air gap in people's brains going, surely we should be just like celebrating them, making cities of kangaroos, like getting people. This is our greatest natural asset. Bring them in, keep them, look after them, get tourists to come. I mean, every New Zealander would come across to see beautiful kangaroos in the wild. They are so amazing to see in the wild.
And they're pretty harmless as far as, not to vegetation, but I mean, it's not like,
Yeah, they're herbivores. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not sort of hassling kids.
At
the park or anything, are they? They're not like a snappy dog. So was it difficult to make? In the trailer, there's a couple of people there with night vision cameras, so I just thought you're going to get shot if you keep standing there.
Yeah, look, it's an uncomfortable film to have made, and it's one of those when you're making docos, you kind of just find yourself. You just have to. You're compelled to keep doing things because that's what the story is. And we did have to go out with shooters at the night, and we went out with the whistleblowers, and yeah, it's scary stuff. These whistleblowers did give us some of that footage too, because that's what's happening at their place.
Yeah.
And in the film, once they found out about the film, they came forward and said, look, we've got this footage of people like right on our fence line just shooting up at night, and it's happening every night, and it's freaking us out,
Yeah. And I mean, and it's like shooting a deer takes a big bullet.
Yes.
That's what, if you're a hunter and you get shot by another fellow hunter who's shooting deer, you're in trouble,
Yes.
It's like, and that's, to take down a kangaroo, you can see that also in the trailer is so it's a big bullet. That's a big, nasty bullet. So it's a lot of, you're out there in the middle of nowhere in the dark sort of firing some serious...
Yeah. And Australia's serious got a lot of big
armament
dark.
Around. Yeah. yeah, it's got a lot of big dark, And so if it was if there was suddenly a protection, I mean, are they protected in any sense at all? Or?
They are as a wildlife species, but basically you can adjust that for anything you want to do. You want
so
to
you can't just run out of your car,
course.
Go out in the club and one on the head with a baseball
but
bat.
People do, of course, because there's that sort of wild thing. You can also just kill them for recreation. They get killed, of course, on the side of the
so
road.
So that's not protected, though, is it? That's just sort of...
No, it doesn't look like it. I mean, I think that it's protection in name only,
So there must be some pressure there.
Yeah, well, I think Australians have sort of been asleep at the wheel as far as kangaroos. This kind of national paradigm of kind of hating them and finding them a nuisance has really kept going. And we think this film will certainly shake everyone up and give everyone a bit of a, what's happening? This is a really precious wildlife species. You can't see this stuff anywhere in the world. This is like only in Australia. So it's cool.
The type of people that are going to go and see the documentary are not really going to be the people who... the problem, though, you're going to get a lot of sympathetic people, sympathetic to the kangaroo, sympathetic to the fact it's a national icon, but the people who you really need to say, hey, maybe you need to rethink all this, there has to be like at a government level, doesn't
it? Of course, we would push for a national conversation around this. It involves scientists.
How do national conversations go in Australia?
Well, I think...
there's a couple have gone well and others haven't.
Yeah, of course. But you have to start somewhere. You have to start putting the facts on the table rather than the kind of industry spin. You have to put the real... a lot of scientists talking about... Like, there's a scientist saying that the numbers are getting so low, there's declines in every area, there's, a local and regional extinction, yet the media and the other scientists are saying they are plague proportions. So
the regional extinction is scary. It's a scary thing to say, especially in Australia, because it's a massive, great, big, super climate.
Yes,
but it's at the same time, it's delicate like everywhere else in the world.
It's really delicate. And with climate change.
And you see
stuff,
that with the Great Barrier Reef recently as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And with climate change and the heat and changing, like a kangaroo population can use half of its mob in drought. Overnight kind of thing. It's not, it's a fragile country, and climate change is only making that worse.
To what extent are people trying to protect them? Like are people actually going out there trying to stand in front of the hunters?
This is happening at night out in the bush. But people, I mean, they are in like Canberra and cities where kangaroos are close to the town, and they're trying to get urban expansion and things happening. So they cull a whole lot of kangaroos near the town. They kill them, and yeah, local people will go and stand in front of bullets, literally. And you know, there's so much. Pressure, I think.
If they were completely left alone, what do you think? Do you think they'd just be going, you'd be looking outside, they'd be going through the bins like a runaway dog or something like that?
No, not at all, not at all. Well, no. They're herbivores. They're just not interested in that. And I think that we could look at, I mean, in the future, we need to look at that sort of coexistence. And, you know, what do? We're living in Australia in this wildlife flora and fauna that exists there. How can we kind of manifest a better look at that and go forward differently? I think that's what we've done, probably not such a proud history with our treatment of kangaroos, and what can we do going forward? And I think that conversation, and certainly when the film came out in Australia, did start to happen, and where, you know, politicians are online, they're looking at, you know, there's one politician in the film who found out that we hadn't even done any public scrutiny on the management of kangaroos in New South Wales.
That's going to be one of my questions. If there's so much killing going on in the dark out and that dark bush that you mentioned, then how is there any sort of idea of how do you get any sort of realistic idea of the numbers?
So they're supposed to get the numbers. They get shooters get tags and they put them on. But there's so many other things that aren't being counted.
You could leave a pile of kangaroo carcasses somewhere and no one ever see it until the day they die. You know,
and that's what they're saying. And the whistleblowers have been ringing in saying in Queensland they're putting up these big fences and they're just killing as many as they can at the moment. So we just found, in the film, we found out all the stuff that, you know, truly Australians know. So it's a precious thing, and it's sort of weird that no Australians have really done this. We were surprised that no one had made this film before, quite frankly.
Get a bit of grief from Big Kangaroo. Like when I say big kangaroo, I mean like big tobacco. Is there an
industry where a few people are making a lot of money from a sort of, you know, free as it was resource, you know.
So free as it was, like free. Yeah. It is free.
That leads me to a question though. Yeah. So the markets are for the leather, the fur, and the meat, but that's not necessarily for human consumption,
both.
Right?
Both, human consumption. And New Zealand bought 40,000 tonnes of kangaroo meat in 2016.
But is it also for pet food?
Yeah, that was actually just for human consumption. We haven't got the figures on pet food because it
40,000 tonnes. Mm-mm.
So, yeah, and it's, you know, that.
So what'd you say, 2 hours in the sun? Yeah. Mm.
No, 8 to 10. I mean, it's, to, you know, mm, yeah. Mm.
2 hours past sunrise.
Someone's stomach's going right now thinking about that, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for coming in, and good luck with the documentary around the world, I guess, too. Because really, that's not a good look, is it?
No, not so great. And, you know, people have been shocked all over Europe, the States. We got, you know, and the film did rave reviews. People were really interested. It's sort of Blackfish, The Cove. It's in that sort of camp. So we're really thrilled.
Which are both really, and you're right. And those are really, really important movies. You know?
Yeah.
It's cool. Hey, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck with the movie. And where do you head to now?
We go down to Wellington tomorrow and screening in Wellington Thursday night. And then back to America for some more stuff. And yeah, we've really come from a big worldwide trip. I was in Europe last week, so yeah, it's still going on.
Cool. Nice to be spreading the story there.
Yeah. If you guys listening want to see the film, it opens today at Academy Cinemas, which is right by the library.
And this is a This Mortal Course on Called Kangaroo. Thanks, Kate.
Good find.
I would have played the Jeff Buckley cover of the Big Star song, but it's 14 minutes long. It's my favourite song ever. So, yeah, I'm just saying. Oh, there's a cover on there. Is that cover? Yeah. You had on blue jeans. Your eyes couldn't hide anything. I saw you leaving. And I saw you staring out in space.
95 BFM podcasts. 95 BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.